We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
She is back on NFL Network, and now she's back on The Fan, the great Kim Jones. Kim, how you feeling?
That's a lot of pressure. Great is a tough bar.
Oh, come on. You know you are.
Thank you for one thing. Yeah, I'm finally back. If I may explain, only because, you know, four people ask, you know, four or five people care about this. But in mid-November, I felt like I had to cancel all of my November and December shifts on The Fan because, you know, Chernoff, and I respect the fact that he has to have a schedule that he can count on. So I had to back out of all of those shows. Turns out I could have done the holiday week shows, but obviously after you make that move, you know, there's no going back.
So, yes.
Chernoff and I talked recently. Can I get you back in the mix? What's going on? You know, how you doing? And we had a great conversation. And the only slight issue there was he'd already done his January schedule.
Oh.
Because, again, Mark plans ahead, and I respect that. He always has in my experience with him. So it's going to be a while. So I really appreciate you're having me on. That was my long way of saying I'm glad to be back, and thank you, Evan.
Well, if you want, I'll start taking days off. I'll start taking Saturdays off. You could take the shift if you like.
That was my passive-aggressive way of suggesting that, by the way. No.
Well, I'll give you a heads up. I am taking we all get like our February week off, if you will.
Yeah.
So I've got that coming up relatively soon. So that Saturday, I'm going away. So you can definitely take that one. You got it, baby.
All right, I'll just storm WFAN's offices because that's become popular lately.
Well, we miss you. And how you feeling? You feeling good?
I feel really good. Yes, I do. Honestly, some days are still a little bit better than others, but the baseline is I feel good, and I'm very lucky. Lucky to say that. So, thank you.
You scared us, and we're glad that you're healthy. That's for sure.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Which of these four games, I've got my bias, which of these four games is intriguing you the most this weekend?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I was at the Eagles Monday and Friday. It's not necessarily that game, but that's the one team I did see this week in person. I think it might be, you know, which is not the way it usually plays out in my mind, this first game. I don't know the way the weather will impact this game, but to have Luck and Mahomes on that same field, as we know, Kansas City's lost. It feels like a million. I think it's six home playoff games in a row now. So that's, you know, sort of that whole monkey on the back thing that they will try. Not that Patrick Mahomes had anything to do with that, but they will try to get one of those rare wins that I think on paper a lot of us would say, oh, yeah, Kansas City's favored. But then you watch the Colts and you're like, wait a minute. There's something there where they're just a really good all-around team. Andrew Luck doesn't get pressure up the middle. A lot of quarterbacks don't like that. In fact, I'm not sure I know any who really do. They do a good job on the edge as well there with him. That's been remarkable. The Giants could take a page there in terms of how they have built that offensive line, not particularly quickly, but they have certainly built it to where it's one of the best in the league right now, and that's amazing. So I think it's the first one out of the gate. Which one is it for you?
My bias is New England only because I really want to see them lose. But I actually, if you take that away, if you strip that away, I agree with you. I mean, we've seen Patrick Mahomes do things on a football field this year in his first full year. That's remarkable. And we've seen a Colt team that looks like the best. They've played like the best team in football over the last 3 months. And what they did last week to Houston was remarkable, starting with the offensive line, continuing with how they shut down arguably the best receiver in the NFL, DeAndre Hopkins. He had no impact on that game last week.
And was banged up. I mean, he was fighting an injury. Then I think he also played with a shoulder injury that he sustained in that game. But, I mean, there should be fireworks in Kansas City, again, as long as the weather allows, because Mahomes and Luck have a combined 89 passing touchdowns, which is the most for any opposing quarterbacks in a playoff game in history. And one thing about Mahomes, if I may, see, I have a lot to say, Evan, because I haven't been able to say anything.
Hey, it's all yours. The floor is yours.
And I'm not going to call out anyone individually. I don't love doing that with broadcasters, although certainly broadcasts can be a topic. We need to stop with the Patrick Mahomes comparison with kids that still at the college level. Because first of all, you sound like you are an absolute moron. And secondly, it's just not fair. Patrick Mahomes has a rare arm that NFL people, you know, shake their head at. And I'm talking about like accomplished, successful NFL people. They can't believe what he does. Part of it's the baseball background. I'm sure you know all about that.
Oh, yeah.
I've talked to LaTroy Hawkins, who's his godfather, several times, beginning with when Patrick declared for the draft and several times since then, about Mahomes and the baseball part of it and sort of his makeup and how all of that factors in. And I think with Mahomes, the arm, the confidence he has in the arm, and the idea that things don't have to be perfect for Patrick Mahomes, and they're not perfect for any quarterback, but I think that's a really cool part of that kid, young man, that he finds a way, and he certainly has the arm that allows him to do it. So I think my broad plea to broadcasters, especially at the college level, would be don't say someone is Patrick Mahomes, because A, you're wrong, and B, you're asking that person to be something that, you know, no one can really get to that level except Mahomes himself.
I'm going
to
give you a comparison to what you're saying that's happening a lot in basketball, and it's so unfair. And that's, there's this guy, Trae Young, got drafted by Atlanta. I've seen him play. I think he's a nice player. I think he has a chance to be good. But people started comparing him to Steph Curry. And it's like, whoa, hold on a second. Steph Curry does things on a basketball court. He hits shots on a basketball court we've never seen. Don't compare the poor kid to Steph Curry. He's never going to be Steph Curry. And he doesn't need to be Steph Curry. And I think in a weird way, it's dog Trae Young early on that he's got these unfair comparisons. Steph Curry, and so far with Patrick Mahomes, they do things that are remarkable. And so to compare kids to them, that's a tough comparison.
Well, and you just nailed it, Ev, because it's so unfair to the person you're trying to compliment, or I presume you're trying to compliment.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I buy the same bathing suit as Heidi Klum. First of all, that's my nightmare. And secondly, like, that's not going to be fair, and I'm not going to come out on a good side there. Like, you can have some similar qualities without being that person.
No, absolutely.
Did you like the Heidi Klum bathing suit thing or not
was,
so much?
It was a tremendous analogy.
Thank you very much.
Look, I love analogies. Give me a good analogy any day of the week. I love them.
I love them, too. Right? I love them. Yep.
I also wonder about postseason experience because, like, last week, you know, Dak Prescott had one game of postseason experience. Game he played well against with the Packers 2 years ago. But for the most part, we saw the quarterbacks with experience versus the quarterbacks without experience. And we forget, Andrew Luck has now started 7 postseason games. Guy started an AFC championship game. He's got a lot of that, and this is the first experience for Patrick Mahomes with that.
Agreed. I think it probably helps Patrick that he's at home. I think it helps him the season he had because he certainly didn't play essentially a rookie. Now, one other thing, by the way, about Mahomes, because in talking to LaTroy about him, that season where he sat behind Alex Smith was invaluable. I'm not saying every quarterback should do that, and we just saw one in the Jets who didn't do that. Of course, Sam played from the beginning.
Right.
But I think it proves there's not a formula of exactly how to do this, because you can't tell me anyone in Kansas City's organization, including and foremost Andy Reid, would now do anything differently given what Patrick Mahomes is, right? It seems to be perfect. Now, next season, we around here could be talking about the Jets and Darnold and say, man, those rookie growing pains, and listen, there were rookie growing pains. I know he finished the season strong, but there were rookie growing pains there, and the completion percentage has to come up and everything else, and you can look at Jared Goff for an example of where a scheme can make a difference, a head coach can make a difference, and you can make big jumps. So I think all of that's encouraging. But we may look next year and say, boy, Sam got a lot of those growing pains out of the way, and look at the great player he is. Now, the point is, though, we kind of want to do formulas. There's not necessarily the formula, because maybe it works out for Darnold, and it certainly is working out for the way they handled Mahomes.
We're talking to Kim Jones. I give you this formula, and maybe I shouldn't be concerned, but Todd Gurley was banged up. We didn't see him week 16. We didn't see him week 17, and he wasn't that effective the previous 2 weeks. Where is Todd Gurley right now? I know he's not on the injury report anymore. He's going to play, but we also haven't seen arguably the best running back in the NFL, arguably, because you could argue Saquon, you could argue Zeke.
Well, he's the All-Pro. He was All-Pro first team, though, and Zeke was second. I would take more offense on Saquon's behalf at Zeke, but, you know, that's you're probably not going to win that if you're Saquon right now in terms of All-Pro. But, yeah, he was the All-Pro running back, so you can call him the best, absolutely.
Yeah. And look, as a fantasy football person, he was tremendous. I loved him, yeah. Right? Didn't lead me to the playoffs, but he did as good of a job as he could. But we haven't seen a healthy Todd Gurley effective in almost a month. How much of a concern is that tonight?
Well, here's, to me, they say he's healthy, so I have to believe them, right? Or as healthy as he's going to be, because healthy in the NFL is often relative. But here's what this is going to some degree test. This idea, you know how with players we say, like, well, if this were the playoffs, would you be able to play?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, with injuries and soreness and banged up and all of that stuff. Well, it's now the playoffs, and it doesn't surprise me that Todd Gurley's going to play. My hunch is he gets out there and is able to play pretty well.
It really feels like they missed Cooper Kupp. When he went down half a season ago, or half the season ago, if that's grammatically correct, it's been a big blow missing him.
It has, and I think for quarterbacks, their comfort zone isn't always the quote-unquote best player, and I'm not taking away from what Cooper Kupp is by any means, but he might not be the first name of the skill players that you think of for the Rams. It's interesting when you upset that balance at any level, and I do, listen, Goff had a great start to the season, a little bit more than a start. He was great early on, not as great lately. So it's going to be interesting to me to see with Goff, obviously Kupp's out, with Goff and with that Dallas defense, the best defense left standing, an aggressive defense, they're going to get after him all the way around. And can the Rams defense led by Donald, who is absolutely fantastic, the best interior rusher in the league, my apologies to Fletcher Cox, but I really think, you know, I think most people think it's Donald, can he affect Dak in a way up the middle that changes the way Dak is able to buy time like we saw last week?
Yeah.
To me, there are games within the games here that are going to be really fun to watch.
It's going to be interesting to see how much of that crowd of Cowboy fans. It's probably going to be 50-50, maybe more.
I would agree with you. And I think that that's a problem. It's a problem for the L.A. teams right now. They're going to end up having a beautiful stadium there.
Right.
I mean, you know, you can see the pictures as it's being built. But, yes, an absolute problem right now. And by the way, I'm sure we'll get there, and I think we will. How about the Chargers, who've won 9 games, including one in London, away from their home stadium?
I know.
I mean, what Anthony Lynn has done, and he deserves a lot of credit, is remarkable. Obviously, Phillip Rivers helps in that regard for a head coach a great deal at this point in his career. But they are not a team that needs things to be perfect and on their terms. They'll go anywhere and beat you, and that's something that, in this day and age, I think we really respect.
It's weird to say this, but I think it's true, because I remember hearing this about the old New Jersey Nets, that teams that don't have a great home field or home court advantage actually benefit in the way they play on the road, because there are times in which they're at home and it feels like they're on the road. There are more fans of the other team, and while that sucks and it's not enjoyable, it actually can benefit these guys for when they play on the road. And I don't think that's a coincidence with the Chargers' success away from that home stadium, that the home games feel like road games, so when they're on the road, it isn't that big of a deal.
And they still have a fiery leader in Rivers. I mean, we've always talked when we compare Eli, Ben, and Rivers, right? One of the things that I've always thought, and I'm not alone in this, is that all three went to the teams and cities and markets where they belonged. Because I don't know that Ben survives here, given some of the stuff earlier in his career. He certainly would survive as a quarterback and as a winner. I'm not suggesting that, but he dealt with some things off the field that might have been a bigger deal in this market. Phillip Rivers with his emotions, you know, we see this market, you know, we sometimes criticize players who are emotional players. Right. I actually think it's healthy to have emotional players. Not all 53 can be, you know, at a high emotional level all the time. They can't. You can't manage that way. But you need emotional leadership. Phillip Rivers certainly has provided that in San Diego and now Los Angeles, obviously still looking for his first title to prove, you know, what a great leader he is. But I find that part of it so interesting as we talk about these teams and how they are where they are and how certain guys are still standing. And the one of the three that I just mentioned, of course, is Rivers, and he'll get to see your Patriots tomorrow, who you're desperately rooting against.
Oh, yeah. Just that life is complete when the New England Patriots are in an AFC Championship game. It's amazing. The last time they weren't in an AFC Championship game was the year the Jets beat them in the divisional round at Gillette. I was in that building. It was a very satisfying night.
Yes.
That's a long time ago, Kim.
You just took the words out of my mouth. I like interrupting you, as you can tell, and you're so good about that. But I was going to say, and that's a long time ago. You know, it's funny now. Like, do we now look back on Rex? I golden age would be way too strong, but he did do some things with those teams that you would really, really, really probably trade away a lot of stuff for the Jets to start doing that again.
Oh.
And that wasn't artfully said by me, but you know what I'm saying. You would make trades, not about things that are near and dear to you, but you would trade a lot to get back to those days, beating the Patriots, being in the playoffs, AFC Championship game, all that stuff. So, you know, it is funny to look back, but you're right. It's a long time ago.
That's why when that was happening, because I learned this early in my sports life to appreciate stuff as it's happening, because it never lasts. It just never does with any of the teams.
Well, that's important in life, not just sports life.
No, you're right.
Agreed.
You're right.
I totally agree.
You're right. I always appreciated Rex for that, because I think as we look back now, first of all, Mark Sanchez, who couldn't even get through a game, basically, as the quarterback of the Washington Redskins, defeated Peyton Manning and Tom Brady in the playoffs on the road in back-to-back weeks. I mean, let that sink in for a second.
Yeah. Well, that's why the crowd, which, as you would suspect, I really, really disagree with, that looked at that Giants-Redskins game and said, see, they're better without Odell.
Oh, that's
well,
nice.
Are you going to put, no offense, because he's a lovely person, are you going to put Mark Sanchez on as the starting quarterback in all of those games? Because believe me, the Giants' defense had a lot to say about that. I mean, that's why in the NFL, stuff is so funny and so week to week, and, you know, Mark Sanchez didn't last past then, because they went to Josh Johnson, obviously, although that ultimately didn't work out for the Redskins.
Hey, I want good players on my team. Odell Beckham's a very good player. Antonio Brown's a very good player. Now, Antonio Brown has done much more disruptive things than Odell Beckham has ever done.
Yeah, you know, I was in the incredible minority. Again, I'm comfortable with all this stuff, so when I say this sort of thing, I'm not looking for sympathy, I'm just pointing it out. When I thought the Facebook video of his head coach and teammates in that locker room, when the head coach in particular didn't know he was on Facebook Live at that moment, I thought that was an incredibly bad sign for Brown and the Steelers going forward. I thought it was really egregious. I was in the minority on that. People just blew it off. No one cared. But it's not like you can all of a sudden be surprised at some of this stuff. You really can't. That thing has been building, and he's been getting away with stuff to the point where something like this was almost bound to happen. And it crushed their season.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you could easily make a case that one of the teams we're talking about today of the eight remaining is the Steelers. We could easily make that case. And they probably should be.
It's felt for years as if the Steelers always have some kind of drama, and usually they rally around it. That's the way it has felt for the last few years, that they thrive with this kind of weird drama.
Yeah, and I think to some degree, Ben stirs that pot.
Yeah.
He has a radio show where, you know, he's not necessarily afraid to mention that a teammate needs to do better or play better. Often that teammate's a skill player and that sort of thing. So I do think there's probably some responsibility there. There's obviously responsibility at the front office and head coach level there. But I agree with you 100%.
Would you deal for Antonio Brown if you're the Jets or another team, or would you be too scared off based on what just happened?
I think the Jets have enough money in free agency. I think they have enough draft. I mean, they've given away some draft picks, but they have an early pick, obviously, in this draft. I would tread lightly there because of what we've seen. You know, now Sam does seem to be the kind of guy that can handle a lot. You know, I don't worry about Sam, you know, going into a funk because a veteran player, you know, causes him to. I don't worry about that with Sam Darnold. But
well, he's also not going to call him out on the radio, which
does. I know that. But I'm just saying, you know, AB is a guy who wants the ball. Like,
sure.
Odell gets – people always say that to me. Well, he always wants – I don't remember Odell publicly ever saying, I have to get the ball. Now, he'll talk about the offense having to be much better, which it does. But in terms of really calling for the ball and making life uncomfortable on a quarterback that way I would probably tread lightly with Brown. I'd be more inclined to go after Bell because of what he would bring. But again, I know the price tag, and I know That may not be the way they end up going. We'll see.
The reason, and I go back and forth with all sports about this, where I want talent. I want talent on my team, and then these other things which turn a lot of people off, maybe I have more leniency with.
Yep.
But the receivers that are out there are such a drop-off after Antonio Brown that that's what keeps me intrigued. I mean, you could argue the best wide receiver out there is Golden Tate, who's a nice player. He's not Antonio Brown. There's a huge drop-off.
Yeah, and he's not the same kind of receiver,
sure,
as you know.
Very different.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the way you're portraying it, and you do a, you know, you do a better job with the stuff than I do a lot of the times, I could see that, but I would want a big conversation there. We saw Adam Gase clash with a player in Jarvis Landry, who, you know, when I went, you know, and I was doing a lot more Patriots games then, and that sort of thing, Evan. When I would talk to players in the AFC East, including Patriots, Bills, well, including all three teams, really, because I would see them all, and Jets, they would talk about Jarvis Landry being the best slot guy in the league, and I'm not sure I would argue against that. I mean, he's a really, really good player. I understand he doesn't make every huge play, but in terms of catching the ball and being productive, he's as good as you get. And you can't make it work with him.
Yeah, no, that's a fair concern.
I would be interested in Gase with Brown.
Yeah. No, the odds are it'd be a disaster. I mean, who's kidding who?
I mean, I'm interested in Gase. Listen, you and Joe have been great. I respect how passionate you are. I've heard Costello on with you. I heard Manish on with you this week. You know, I respect everything that you guys are saying because you want the Jets to win and you're not sold this is the guy who can do it. And I understand that. I mean, 13 and 19 the last 2 years, with three of those wins coming against the Jets, is not some great endorsement for Adam Gase. And then the counter would be, well, in close games, what, his Dolphins are 20-6 over the last few seasons, and that's best in the league. So I don't like the Cutler argument. I certainly don't like the Peyton Manning argument.
Oh.
I mean, that stuff I can't do.
Yeah.
To me, the young quarterback he had was Ryan Tannehill, and, you know, he was injured. They all get injured at some point, it seems. But, I mean, Sam had an injury this year, but that didn't really work out. And that's one of the reasons he's not there.
No, what's bothered me is people have talked about Adam Gase like he's a quarterback whisperer. And my answer is where? I'd like to see, what are you talking about? 1 year of Jay Cutler, the development of Ryan Tannehill, Peyton Manning and making him coffee? Like, where is this resume of whispering to quarterbacks? Hopefully he helps turn Sam Darnold into the greatest of all time. I'd love to see it, but the way it's been portrayed over the last few weeks is Adam Gase has done something that he really hasn't done. That's all.
Well, and another of the candidates, Matt Rhule, who I got to know a little bit in his 1 year as an assistant coach with the Giants, he hasn't developed them either. So it is interesting, you know, if Mike McCarthy has to get some credit for Aaron Rodgers, who's very talented but came up under him. I wouldn't give him credit, you know, at all for Favre, to be honest.
No,
but,
no.
You know,
great,
you get him, give him some credit for Aaron Rodgers, who's terrific and whose game is not completely foreign to Sam Darnold's game. I mean, there are some similarities in terms of what Aaron Rodgers is able to do with all of his gifts and the way Sam Darnold's able to move on a football field. And I think that would have been encouraging there. You know, and then there's Todd Monken, who what? Tampa Bay had a really good offense, and did he develop Jameis Winston? I mean, Jameis Winston is going to need to now become who he is under Bruce Arians, and there's a big hope that he can do that. So the one thing about the Jets candidates is they didn't really bring in the guys where you can say, like, wow, look at what he did with this player.
Right.
The one guy that was out there a year ago who did that was Frank Reich, and he got a job because, you know, Josh McDaniel's, you know, flightiness.
Yep.
You know, when Frank Reich, when you talk to people in Philly, he was invaluable to Doug Peterson as a sounding board and as a resource and as an offensive mind. And he was really, really good with Wentz and then obviously Foles, who, by the way, is going to be a remarkable story.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Whenever the season ends, because I think 5 days after the season ends, the Eagles have to make a decision about Nick Foles, who, you know, Rex coined the term folk hero, which I understand because of the kicker.
Right.
You know, this is a Foles hero now in Philly, and rightly so.
It's going to be fascinating. Kim, I appreciate you making time for us. Can't wait to hear you back doing shows and enjoy the football.
Thanks, Ed. We covered a lot. Like, I'm going to leave this feeling like we covered a lot.
We accomplished our goal. So good job out of you. It was all you.
Listen Monday. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you, Kim. Kim Jones does a great job, NFL Network. Of course, you hear her right here on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.